You can turn, please, the living word of God to the book of Genesis and the chapter 47. The book of Genesis and the chapter 47. As you're turning to the place, can I just say that next Lord's Day there will be both services in the morning and the evening as usual. However, as was mentioned this morning, while there will be the drive-in service at 11:30 next Lord's Day morning, if you never come to the evening time, the service will be at 7:00 instead of 6:30. So at 7:00 next Lord's Day evening, and there will be the option for people to go into the church building if you're able to and you're willing to do so. To that end, the members of the session will be in contact with the regular attenders and the members of the congregation this incoming week, to see if you're willing and indeed able to enter into the building so that we can maximise the space. That being said, if you have not been contacted by, say, Thursday of this incoming week, and you would like to express your desire to enter into the building, please do get in touch with one of the members of session, or indeed you can get in touch via the Facebook page. But may the Lord undertake for us as we seek to venture this way, and may we know the help and the blessing of the Lord. The book of Genesis and the chapter 37. I want to recommence the series that we were undertaking about a month ago and continue the series on the life of Joseph. Now, just to give you a bit of context, because it has been a month since Joseph has been preached upon, and that is, as we come into chapter 47, Joseph has already been exalted to the position of prime minister. Famine, however, has struck, and Jacob and his family, while they were starving in Canaan, they have come down into Egypt looking for food. Joseph readily accepts them and receives them, and he provides for them. And if you now look with me at verse 27 of Genesis 47, "And Israel," that is another name for Jacob, "dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein, and grew, and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph, and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me. And he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head." Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 31. Let us just bow briefly in a word of prayer. And if you have not yet prayed already, asking the Lord to come and to visit you, to speak to you a word in season, now is your opportunity to do just that. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy living word. And I ask thee, Lord, now that as it is preached upon, that you would give me great help. Lord, fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Bring to thy mind the words that thou wouldst have me to say. O Father, I cry thy word will go forth with life and with power tonight to those that are lost, to those that are ungodly, to those that are still on their way to hell. And Lord, they would see Christ and their need to get right with him. But Lord, the supply that there is and the willingness that Christ is, that he has to receive them, to forgive them. Lord, I pray that you show them Christ. For us who are saved, show us Christ. Fill our hearts with him, we pray. And Lord, may we go out rejoicing and loving him who first loved us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. There are literally thousands of roller coasters in this world. Of course, there are some roller coasters that are extremely fast. For example, there is the Formula Rosa in Abu Dhabi, and it can accelerate from 0 to 150 miles per hour in under 5 seconds. That will give those who are within the seats of the roller coaster up to 1.7 G force, and then up to 4.8 G throughout the ride. While there are very fast roller coasters, there are of course very high roller coasters. One of the tallest is King Daka in America, there in New Jersey. And the roller coaster will take people up to the height of 139 metres. But then of course you'll have roller coasters that are infamous. Now, no roller coaster more infamous, of course, than the Big Dipper itself in Port Rush there in Barrie's. And there you will have the Big Loop itself. But as I said, there's lots of different types of roller coasters. But yet many of them will have similar characteristics. Whenever someone rides a roller coaster, they will be taken to great heights, but they can also be taken to great depths. Some roller coasters, even in open tires, will take you to below the ground. Whenever someone is on a roller coaster often, it will be difficult for you to keep your head up because you'll be thrown back into the seat with the G-forces. Sometimes a roller coaster such as the Big Dipper, everything will seem upside down. At times a roller coaster can be fun, but at other times it can be scary. And eventually the roller coaster will come to an end. Whenever I think about the characteristics of roller coasters, I cannot think about the life of Jacob. While roller coasters were not invented in his time, and will not be invented for some 2,500 years, yet you could say that Jacob's life was like a roller coaster. Jacob was one who knew high times. Whenever he was able to watch his son Joseph grew up to be a godly man, I have no doubt that that was a high time in Jacob's life. Jacob, however, experienced great low times. He would have seen his other sons mock Joseph and hate Joseph and slander Joseph. Jacob would have difficult times whenever it would have been almost impossible for him to keep his head up. For example, the time whenever he believed that Joseph had been killed, he received Joseph's coat covered there in blood, and he believed Joseph had been torn apart by a ravenous animal. At times life seemed good, but at other times in Jacob's life, things seemed scary. One occasion, Jacob believed that everything was against him. He said, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and Benjamin will be taken away. All things are against me. But now in Genesis chapter 47, you and I read that Jacob's life, like a roller coaster, is about to come to an end. You and I read in verse 29, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die. In chapters 47 and chapters 48, you and I will have recorded for us three scenes beside Jacob's bed, this old patriarch. The first bedside scene is found here at the end of chapter 47. And there are two people present. There is Jacob and then there is Joseph. At the beginning of chapter 48, we have the second bedside scene. And there we will have four people present. We will have Jacob, Joseph, and then Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. In the third bedside scene, you and I will have 13 people present. With Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's 11 brothers. But there's one thing that you and I must notice. And that is, in every single bedside scene where this old patriarch Jacob is dying, Joseph is present. Every single time, Joseph is present. Joseph is right there. Young people and men and women, I want to leave with you two simple truths tonight. Joseph was there for Jacob in his life. And Joseph was there for Jacob in his death. And of course, you and I have seen throughout the study of Joseph's life, he is a vivid and an accurate picture in many ways of Jesus Christ. And of course, what you and I will see tonight is exactly the same. Joseph being there for the one whom he loved in life and in death. So Jesus Christ, the greater Joseph, will be there for those whom he loves in life and in death. Notice with me, first of all, this evening, by way of context, that Joseph was there for Jacob in life. Now, there are two parts to this. First of all, Joseph was there for Jacob even when Jacob did not know it. Whenever it came to Jacob's life, Joseph was there for Jacob even whenever Jacob did not know it. You see, whenever Joseph was in Egypt, Jacob thought that Joseph was dead. Jacob thought that Joseph could be of no benefit to him. But Jacob was not aware of what Joseph was doing. For example, Joseph was providing for Jacob. Joseph, knowing that 7 years of famine were about to come and that Jacob was going to perish in that famine unless something was done, Joseph began to provide for Jacob. Joseph would organize builders there to build huge storehouses. Joseph would pay farmers. Joseph would gather the grain. Joseph was preparing for Jacob so that Jacob did not have to die and would not die. Joseph was also praying for Jacob, because when the time of famine would strike, I have no doubt in my mind that Joseph was praying for Jacob. He was praying that God would bring Jacob down to him in Egypt, whereby Joseph would be able to deliver Jacob and give him life. And that until that moment, whenever Jacob would come to Joseph, that Joseph was praying that God would keep Jacob safe. Even though Jacob knew nothing about it, Joseph was there for Jacob in his life, preparing for Jacob, providing for Jacob, praying for Jacob, but also preparing Jacob. Little did Jacob know, but whenever Jacob had sent his sons down to Egypt and they'd come back again, they'd go back down again and come back up again, and all the difficulties that those journeys surrounded, little did Jacob know that in all that was happening, Joseph was preparing the way that would enable Jacob to come, that would bring Jacob down, that would draw him down, and that the blessing could be given. Young people and men and women this evening, Joseph was there for Jacob even when Jacob did not know it. And so it is with the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this evening, do you see that Jesus Christ has been there for you even whenever you have been unaware of it? Maybe for many years of your life you thought that Jesus Christ was dead. Maybe you thought for many years of your life that Jesus Christ could be of no benefit to you. But yet do you see tonight that over 2,000 years ago Jesus Christ was providing for you? That Jesus Christ went to the cross, knowing that punishment was about to come for sin. That Jesus Christ went to the cross to purchase salvation for sinful men, so that you did not need to die. Shedding His blood in our place, Jesus Christ done all that is necessary, provided all that is necessary, that you can have life. Even though you have not been aware of it, perhaps Jesus Christ has been providing for you. Do you see that Jesus Christ has been praying for you? Rising from the dead, the third day, Jesus Christ ascended up to His Father's side. And there He has been every moment, every day, interceding for us, according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Praying for us. Praying that those your sinners will be kept safe. Praying that those your sinners will come to Him and be saved and have eternal life. Do you see Jesus Christ having prepared for you? Do you see Jesus Christ having prayed for you? Do you see Jesus Christ preparing you? Perhaps Jesus Christ has been preparing you through difficulties. Maybe it's been through the realization of the emptiness of this world. Maybe Christ has been preparing you through a loved one who is dying, or indeed who has died, and you have been reminded afresh the brevity of life and the certainty that we'll all stand before God in judgment. Maybe Jesus Christ has been preparing you through the realization of the wickedness of your life and the guiltiness of your life before God. But whatever way Jesus Christ has been preparing you, yet He has been preparing you, brought you to this point this evening, whereby you are now ready to run to Him for salvation, for life, for help, for forgiveness. Dear lost person this evening, Jesus Christ has been there for you in your life, even though you have not been aware of it. Providing for you. Praying, pleading to God the Father for you. For Christ has no desire that the wicked perish, but that all will turn from their way and live. Do you see that Jesus Christ is perhaps even preparing your heart tonight that you will come to Him? If so, will you come? Will you come? And for us who are already saved this evening, Do you see that even before we were saved, even before we came to Christ for salvation and for life, that Jesus Christ was right there all the time, even before we knew about it? He was always there. You see, Joseph was there for Jacob in life, even whenever Jacob did not know it. But notice also, Joseph was there for Jacob in life, even whenever Jacob did know about it. In Genesis 47, verse 27, you and I read, "And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen." Whenever Jacob eventually heard the call and the command from Joseph to go down to Egypt for life, for salvation from death, whenever Jacob went down to Joseph, Jacob would find three things to be true. Jacob would find that Joseph was there, right there in Egypt, waiting for him to provide salvation from death. Joseph was there for Jacob. And Jacob found that out. More than that, Jacob would find out that Joseph was there for him, not merely to provide salvation from death, but also safety from danger. Because having read in Genesis 46 of Jacob coming down to Joseph for salvation, to be saved from death and from the famine, you and I read at the beginning of chapter 47 that Joseph then goes before Pharaoh to plead that Jacob and his family would be placed in Goshen, which is at the border of Egypt and the border with Canaan, separate from many of the ungodly and wicked cultural beliefs and practices of the Egyptians. And there Jacob would be kept safe from that which would have done him harm. Jacob would find out that Joseph was there to provide salvation from death as well as safety and danger. But more than that, Jacob would find out that Joseph was there for him to provide supply in difficulty. You see, while the famine would occur for another 5 years whenever Jacob came to Joseph, in verse 27 you and I find that Joseph nourished Jacob and his family so much so that they multiplied and they flourished. Now, it's easy to read that without thinking about it. At this very moment in time, in our own nation, and indeed in many parts of this world, there are many who are in difficulty. With COVID-19, many people have lost their jobs. Many people are suffering financially with the current crisis. And no doubt many more as well if there is a recession. For someone then to multiply exceedingly in such circumstances would be rare. And yet what you and I have in Genesis 47 is a situation far more solemn and far more worse than what you and I are in this evening. Because every person in Egypt at this moment in time is without food. They will give all of their money to buy food. Whenever they run out of food, then they will then give their houses, give their lands, give their animals just to get food. Whenever that runs out, they will then give their very lives just to get food. They were giving all that they had just to get the basic necessities. And yet what we find regarding Jacob, Jacob was not simply surviving, he was flourishing, becoming fruitful. What was it separated and set apart Jacob from the others? It was simply because of the relationship that he had with the ruler of Egypt. Jacob was loved by the ruler of Egypt. He was loved by Joseph. And Joseph said to Jacob in Genesis 47 verse 12 that he would not merely maintain him, but he would nourish him. Nourish him until he flourished. Dear friends, tonight if you are lost, you and I tonight are living in times of great difficulty. As I said, many are suffering financially, many are suffering mentally, many are suffering emotionally. And there are those who are coming to the very end of their tether. But let me tell you, if you come to Jesus Christ for salvation tonight, Jesus Christ will be there for you. Like Joseph, Jesus Christ will be right there to supply and provide you with salvation from eternal death if you come to Christ. More than that, Jesus Christ will be there for you in life to provide safety from danger. This world has many distractions. It is many deceptions which can cause you great harm. But as you come to Christ, He is able to teach you through His Word, to teach you the right way, the straight path, and to keep you safe from those dangers. He'll be there for you in life. And also, Jesus Christ will be there, not merely to provide you with salvation and safety, but to provide you with a supply in the difficulties. He will meet your physical need, your financial need, your emotional need. He may not meet your financial greed, but He will meet your need. David said in Psalm 37, he says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken by God or his seed begging bread. David said in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not be in lack. And indeed, the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 13, verse 5, that Christ promises He will never leave us nor forsake us. Dear friend, tonight, if you are lost, you come to Christ for salvation. He has been there for you in life, preparing the way for salvation, providing it with the blood He shed, praying for lost sinners. But He will be there for you, and you will know it if you come to Him. If you are saved tonight already, dear brother and sister, I want to say to you, you too may be going through a difficult time in the crisis that we are in. You may be going through a difficult time financially, emotionally, or mentally, but be assured. Just as Jesus Christ was there for you when you came to Him for salvation from death, so Jesus Christ will be there for you when you come to Him for supply and difficulty. Go to Christ tonight in prayer. Cast your cares upon Him, knowing that He cares continually for you. The Apostle Paul promises in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Dear brother and sister, you can be encouraged tonight. Christ is there for you in life, even whenever you're not aware of it, as well as when the times that you are. He is there for you. But while you and I can be encouraged and comforted, you and I, dear child of God, we ought to be challenged. Because Christ is not merely there for us to supply us with salvation from eternal death and to supply us in difficulties and to meet our needs. But Jesus Christ is there to save us from dangers. Jesus Christ does not want you and I to get muddled up and confused in the silly notions and beliefs and the wicked cultural practices of this world. He wants to save us from it. And He's there to save us from it. But the question comes to me tonight and it comes to you tonight. Will you not acknowledge the Lord in all our ways? And will we go and study His Word that He may indeed direct our paths through it? He wants to save us from these dangers. And I wonder, do you want to be saved yourself? The first lesson I want you and I to see tonight is that Joseph was there for Jacob. He was there for Jacob in his life. And the thing that I find most instructive as well as interesting, if you look at me there at Genesis 47, verses 27 and 28, you and I read that Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. Whenever Jacob came down to Joseph for that salvation from death, Jacob dwelt where Joseph wanted him to be. Jacob dwelt in the country of Goshen where Joseph wanted Jacob to be because that was very near to Joseph. And as Jacob dwelt there, Joseph provided for him, he nourished him, and he made him to flourish. And again, if you come to Christ and you follow His directions, you are where He wants you to be and you draw ever close to Him and you stick close to Him, I can assure you, you will flourish. I'm not saying that you will multiply exceedingly whenever it comes to your finances. But what I am saying is that you will flourish compared to this world. Many in this current crisis are suffering, coming to the end of their tether, and they are filled, many of them, with sorrow and with misery, with no hope.
But as you stay close to Christ and you follow Christ, you will flourish with joy in Christ, with hope in Christ, with peace in Christ. And you will flourish compared to those within this world. Joseph was there for Jacob in his life. But notice with me secondly, and my last main point this evening, Joseph is there for Jacob in Jacob's death. If you look at me please at Genesis 47 and the verse 29, you and I read, "And the time drew nigh that Israel must die." Now notice with me regarding this truth, Joseph is needed for comfort. Oh yes, Joseph is going to be there for Jacob in Jacob's death, but in that death, Joseph is needed for comfort. Now there's two reasons why Joseph is needed for comfort. Joseph is needed for comfort because death cannot be avoided. You look with me again at that verse 29. "And the time drew nigh that Israel," that is Jacob, "must die." This verse makes it very clear that Jacob must die, as well as that Jacob had a time to die. Now men and women and young people, in spite of appearances, Jacob must die. Earlier on in Genesis 47, verses 8 and 9, whenever Joseph brought Jacob before Pharaoh, Pharaoh was amazed at how old Jacob looked. In fact, Pharaoh was so amazed that he asked Jacob how old he was, and Jacob responded and said that he was 130 years old. Now, as one man put it, if anybody seems to be defying death here, it's Jacob, 130 years and counting. But in spite of appearances, Jacob must die. Furthermore, in spite of a long life and continual grace, Jacob must die. Because in verse 28, you and I read that Jacob would live another 17 years. He would live till the age of 147. It just seems that Jacob is getting more grace and more grace, more time and more time. He just seems to keep going and going. But yet, we are told here that in spite of appearances, in spite of ongoing grace, yet we're told, "And the time drew nigh that Israel must die." You see, Joseph is needed for comfort because death cannot be avoided. And so it is for you and I tonight. In spite of how you may look and your appearance, in spite of how healthy you may be, how fit you may be, how wealthy you may be and to be able to provide for whatever medicine that you can purchase, unless the Lord returns, the reality is that there will come a time when you must die. In spite of how much grace and opportunity you continue to be given, even though you may seem to just keep on going day after day, again, unless the Lord returns, the reality will be that there is a time when you must die. Reverend Kyle Graham, one of the preachers within our denomination serving the Lord there in Australia, speaking on this passage, he said, "There is an appointment in your calendar that you cannot cancel and you cannot delay." Let me repeat that. There is an appointment in your calendar that you cannot cancel and you cannot delay. You see, speaking of King David in 1 Kings chapter 2, you and I are told in verse 1 that the days of David drew nigh that he should die. When David did come to die, it is said that David declared to his son Solomon, "I go the way of all the earth." Not some of the earth, not part of the earth. "I go the way of all the earth." I wonder this evening if you realize that the way of all the earth is death. The way of the rich is death. The way of the poor is death. The way of the employer is death. The way of the employee is death. The way of all is death. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 8, we are told, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." You cannot delay it and you cannot postpone it. Unless Christ returns, you and I must die. And there is a time, an appointed time, when you and I must die. But the question comes, when that time occurs, will you and I be in comfort or will you and I be in distress? You see, death cannot be avoided, and therefore Joseph is needed for comfort. But notice with me that Joseph is needed for comfort, not merely because death cannot be avoided, but Joseph is needed for comfort, secondly, because death removes control. Whenever Jacob came to die, Jacob knew that after his death he would not be able to fulfill the wishes that he had. You see, as you and I read Genesis 47, verses 29 and 30 and 31, you and I will realize that Jacob did not want his body to be buried in Egypt where the ungodly were. Jacob wanted his body to be buried in Canaan where his godly fathers and ancestors were. Jacob wanted his body to be buried in the land that was a picture of the promise to come, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16. That promise of the new heaven and the new earth, that's where Jacob wanted his body to rest. That's where Jacob wanted his body to reign. But Jacob knew that as soon as he died, he had no control over it. Jacob knew that death removes control, that he would have to give his body into the hands of those that were there and commend his body into their hands. No wonder Jacob needed comfort. He knew what he desired. He knew what he wanted. But death would remove his control over it. And so it is for you and for me this evening. When you and I come to die, you and I need to be comforted, because you and I lose control of death. We lose control over where our bodies are sent, but you and I also lose control over where our souls are sent. It may be your wish tonight that your soul goes not to be with the wicked in hell, but that your soul goes to be with the godly in heaven, perhaps with some of your own parents and ancestors. But that is outside of your control whenever death occurs. Men and women, the day will come whenever, as Ecclesiastes 8 tells us, that whenever it comes to the day of death, that you and I have no power. No power. Instead, you and I must commend and surrender our souls into the hand of God, either to receive wrath or to receive reward. I wonder this evening, when that day comes, what will be your eternal destination? We can talk about many other people in this world. The person in the car beside you. You and I can talk about my eternal destiny. But what about yours tonight? When it comes to the day of death, where will you be sent? To the place of the godly in glory in heaven, or to the place of the wicked in hell? Joseph was needed for comfort, because death could not be avoided. Israel must die. But death removed control. Notice with me, secondly, that Joseph is not merely needed for comfort, but Joseph is sought for comfort. Now, Joseph is sought necessarily. If you look at me there at verse 29 of Genesis 47, you and I read, "The time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called, he sought his son Joseph, and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt." If Jacob was ever to have comfort in the day of his death, he needed to seek for Joseph. He needed the request of Joseph that his body would be put to rest where the godly were. If Jacob did not seek, then he would never have found. If he did not call, then he would never have been answered. Joseph is sought for comfort. He is sought necessarily, but praise God, he is sought effectively. Because you and I read in verse 29, "The time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and said unto him." Notice with me that in that verse, there is no hesitation. Now, many things could have happened. Joseph could have sent a reply to Jacob and said, "Hold on a minute, Jacob. I am a high-ranking official in the land of Egypt. I have lots of things to do in my work. I have the country to uphold. More than that, Jacob, And my wife and my family to attend to. I am too busy to come. That could have been what Joseph had said. Another situation could have simply been that Joseph forgot to come whenever Jacob made the call. But that never happened. Because you and I read that whenever Jacob called for his son Joseph, that Jacob then said unto Joseph. Because Joseph, you see, heard the call for comfort. Joseph then came in response to the call for comfort. And Joseph would listen to the call and listen to all that Jacob had to say. And what a picture you and I have there of Jesus Christ himself. Whenever it comes to the day of death, you and I, we can seek Christ to comfort us. We can cry out to the Lord. Now Christ could say, I'm too busy. Not merely do I have one country to uphold, I have the whole world to uphold with the word of my power. He could turn around and say, you know, I have my own family as well to look after, all those who are mine throughout the world with all their difficulties, all their prayers to hear. But Jesus Christ wouldn't say that. Because you and I are told in Psalm 34 verse 15 that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Jesus Christ is never too busy for us. If we cry out to him for comfort, like Joseph, Jesus Christ, the greater Joseph, will be there to hear our cry. His ears are always open. He'll be there to come to us. And he'll there be there to listen to us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, after declaring this promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Apostle Paul applies that promise from Christ in the first 6, and he says, so that you and I may boldly say, with confidence say, the Lord is my helper. That word for help, in the Greek, comes from two words. And it's a picture of running to the aid of someone. Whenever you and I cry to Christ for help, in life or in death, Christ is there to run to our aid. He will come without hesitation. And he will listen. In Psalm 50 verse 15, the Lord promises, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Men and women, if Jacob did not seek for Joseph, Jacob would never have been comforted in the day of his death. But he did seek Joseph. He sought Joseph necessarily. And he sought Joseph effectively. And tonight, in life and in death, you and I cannot expect Christ to come and to comfort us without first seeking him. In Jeremiah 31, you and I are taught to call upon the Lord, to call upon him, and then he will show us great and mighty things. In James chapter 4, we're told that we have not because we ask not. Let me ask you, whenever it comes the day of death, will you die with comfort because you have sought Christ? Or will you die in distress because you never sought Christ? I pray that it will be the former. Notice with me in conclusion tonight that as we see the final aspect of Joseph being there for Jacob in death, that Joseph is needed for comfort, Joseph is sought for comfort, but Joseph is the giver of comfort. At the end of the chapter of Genesis 47, you and I will read this phrase, that Israel, that is Jacob, bowed himself upon the bed's head. You and I do not read that Jacob's head simply sagged or dropped. No, Jacob, with his own strength, he willingly and purposefully bowed it. He bowed it in worship, according to Hebrews chapter 11. He bowed it in worship and in peace. Why? Because Jacob needed comfort in his death. That his wish would be fulfilled. And Joseph was there to give it. Notice with me, very briefly, where Jacob's comfort came from. It came from the promise that Joseph made. You see, in these verses, you and I read that Jacob told Joseph, make a promise with me, put your hand under my thigh, deal kindly, deal truly with me, swear unto me.
And what did Joseph say? He said, I will do as I request. Joseph made a promise. That's where Jacob's comfort came from. The word of Joseph, the promises of Joseph. More than that, not only did it come from the promise that Joseph made, it came from the authority that Joseph possessed. If you imagine that Jacob looking for comfort in the bed of his death, his wish would be met, that his body would be buried in Canaan with the godly and not with the wicked in Egypt. But imagine Jacob went to some random servant and said, by the way, whenever I die, I want you to take my body and put it in Canaan. That servant would not have the authority to do that. Would not have the ability to do that. But Joseph has the authority. He is ruler in Egypt. All is put into his hands. And you see, men and women, so it is with Jesus Christ. He has made promises that if we call upon him for salvation, we shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We can have comfort in death that we will not go to be with the wicked, but with the godly, because of the promise of Christ, but because of the authority of Christ. You and I read in John's Gospel that God the Father has put all things into the hand of Christ to give eternal life to as many that come unto him. Christ has the authority and the ability. But notice one last thing. Jacob received comfort because of the faithfulness that Joseph had shown. If Jacob had spoken to any of his other sons, Reuben or Levi or Simeon, he would not have had confidence that they would take his body and bury it in Canaan. Why? Because simply for years they lied to Jacob. They couldn't be trusted. But Joseph could. He had always shown himself to be faithful. Men and women, Jesus Christ is the one who is faithful, according to Hebrews chapter 11. He is faithful in life, and he's faithful in death. And you and I can have comfort that whenever he makes a promise that I will take you and present you faultless before my Father in heaven, we can trust that promise, because Christ is faithful to keep his promise, and he has all authority to keep that promise. Joseph was there for Jacob in life and in death. And you see, in roller coasters, which I commenced with at the very beginning, one of the main characteristics about so many roller coasters is that whenever you go to sit on the roller coaster, times are scary, on occasions times are fun. Sometimes flies upside down, all the rest of it. But yet, on most roller coasters, there's a seat beside you, or someone can go with you. And so it is in salvation. You come to Christ. He'll be with you in life, when you don't know it, and when you do. And he'll be with you in death. I wonder, do you have Christ as your Saviour? Do you have Christ as your comfort? There is coming a time when we must die. But will you die with comfort? That you're in Christ and him alone. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I ask thee that thou wouldst take thy word. Bless it to every heart. I thank you, Lord, for each one that's gathered. Oh, Lord, let thy word be written upon our hearts, that we'll not forget it. Lord, we'll take these truths and we'll apply them to our hearts over the incoming week, that they will encourage us, strengthen us, challenge us. Lord, give me grace, I pray, and bless me through thy word. Take us to your homes in safety, we ask it. Again, be with those, Father, who are not well. Be with, Father, those who are suffering, those who are struggling, those who are going through bereavement. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one. And Father, whenever it comes next Lord's Day, we pray that I was undertake. That all will go smooth and all will go well. For thy glory we ask it. Amen.